bless everybody. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this communion evening. Amen. How many looking forward to taking communion? Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, Holy, Holy, Holy Are You, Lord. Amen. Just want to worship Him, praise Him, give Him all the glory. Amen. Lift Him up. Tell Him that He is holy. Amen. For He is holy. Amen.
Holy, holy, holy are You, Lord. Oh, holy, holy, holy are You, Lord.
The elders and angels bow.
The elders and angels bow. The redeemed worship You. Take me in to the holy of
That the Lord Jesus Christ has forgiven you, amen. Real simple little chorus there, but a very powerful words, amen.
And He has forgiven me. My sins have been washed from His memory. Us, Father. Bless us, Lord. We need more of You, Lord.
enough of you, Lord. We can never get to a stage, Lord, where we can say we've done enough. Lord, we just love you completely, fully surrendered, Lord, to you. Father, I ask if you would have your way today, Lord. Lord, we think of the tithes and the offerings, Lord. We just want to commit that to you as well, Father. Lord, you know how to use and where to use these things, Lord. You know who needs it, Lord. Father, we just commit ourselves to you fully, Lord. Into your hands, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Just sing that song, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Amen. How many just want to come worship him with all your heart tonight? Amen. Amen. No halfway believers. We don't want to stop at Kadesh. We want to go all the way. Amen. Amen.
And this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Is so wonderful. It's so high you can't get over it. So low you can't get under it. Amen. We even have wider rows now so everybody can jump up and get down as low as they can. Amen.
And the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. Jesus.
Glad to be free today, amen. Amen. After a message like this morning, that ought to set us free, amen. Amen. Amen.
For a long time I traveled down a long lonely road. My heart was so heavy and sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. Bring me out through His saving power.
sing this evening. Amen. Good to see you. We've got quite a crowd for communion tonight. Good to see you all that was able to press out. God bless you. And certainly looking forward to a communion time with one another. Amen. So by the grace of God, I think we're a little late on this. We usually do it once a month. We're a little late right now, but time's right on. It's right on time.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank God for this opportunity this evening. Been doing a little studying about this. I might have a sermon about it, but by the grace of God, just glad to be in communion time with one another. Amen. How many enjoyed the Word of God this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. I love Brother Troy's gift. He certainly has it's a very special gift. Amen. And by the grace of God, it just always has such a certainty when it comes from his lips. And I love that. Amen. But anyway, this evening, we certainly just want to thank the family for coming. Such a long trip. But by the grace of God, we've certainly enjoyed the fellowship and look forward to more of that. But by the grace of God, we want to just give the Word ample time this evening. And we want to be able to enjoy communion. So by the grace of God, maybe we'll sing one song as we invite our brother out, and then we'll get right into the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Trying to think of a song here, coming around the bend. Let's sing that song if we can. Let's sing a song, It's Worth It. How about that? You know, Second Services, it's worth it to be at Second Services. It's worth it to be in communion time. Amen? Remember what Jesus told Peter. He said, if you don't let me wash you, you have no part in my kingdom. So it's good tonight that we have that opportunity, amen, where we can wash one another. Amen? Let's sing this song if we can. We'll do the best we got. Oh, it's worth it. Thank God it's worth it to make heaven my home. Oh, yes, it's worth it. Yes, it's worth it to reach the land. No more to roam. It's worth my trying. It's worth my dying.
Believes that we're living in the Bible days. So,
yeah.
Amen. They didn't cease. They're still here.
Amen. Right.
And if we're still living in Bible days, then there must still be Bible characters on this earth.
Right.
Amen. Now let's just turn right in our Bibles to John chapter 14.
Amen.
It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. You know, sometimes if you ever pray for something and you don't see the answer right away, you go back to the promise. You say, but Lord, you promised. And I've had to do that a few times in my life to where I've prayed for something and I see something in my life that almost seems contrary to the promise. And I just bring it to God and I say, but Lord, your word said so.
Amen.
And sure enough, God brings her right back around and there's the promise answered.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. God has always been good to me.
Amen.
Amen. John chapter 14, verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been with you so long with you? Have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And we'll just stop right there. Let's also go over to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Start at the 12th verse.
Amen.
Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory unto glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just now place all things into your hands, Father.
Yes.
Lord, this service is not our service, Lord, but is your service.
Yes, Lord.
But we are yours, and we belong to you, Father. And Lord, we just want to thank you so much for keeping all of your appointments and for coming by this place this evening. Father, I pray you'd walk up and down every aisle and touch every heart, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I just claim them for the gospel's sake. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be as, Lord, everything you do and say is so beautiful to us, Father. We just want to see it one more time. We want to hear you one more time. We want to see the things that you do just one more time because, Lord, you're the same. You have not changed. All of your power is yet the same. Your beautiful words are yet the same. And we love them, Father. So we just pray, Father, that you'd come down, Lord. And as you said, you would keep every appointment, Father. We've made this appointment with you. And we're just waiting to hear from you. And I know you'll do it in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Just want to preach a message called The Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ revealed. Now we know that God, throughout history, all time, has been constantly revealing Himself.
That's right.
Just constantly, faithfully revealing Himself. He revealed Himself in the creation
Paul said a man is without excuse by looking at the creation. Because he can see God. Without fail, God revealed himself. He showed himself in Adam and Eve. He showed himself, you think, there in Moses. When he sent Moses down, he says, Moses, you'll be God to Egypt. And Aaron will be your prophet. And he allowed Moses to be a type of Christ. You've all heard of the story of Joseph, how Joseph was a type of Christ, how he was sold into slavery for 20 pieces of silver, just like Christ was sold into slavery for 30 pieces of silver, and how hated of his brethren, and went down into Egypt and went to prison, and the butler on the one side, the bakery on the other, just like the two thieves were on the cross, and things just kept happening and happening. He was let out of prison. He ascended up to the right hand of Pharaoh, just like Christ was let off the cross and ascended to the right hand of God on high. And you look at all these things, and how did Joseph do that?
Come on.
Amen.
How in the world did Joseph type out Christ? And he couldn't have done it.
Come on, brother.
He just absolutely could not have done it. If he wanted to. There is nothing. There's no man here that could say, you know what, I'm going to be a type of Christ. You could not do it if you wanted to. There would have to be something special happen to you. To allow you to be a type of Christ. You think of David there when he started writing that psalm. All my bones, they stare at me. They've pierced my hands. They've pierced my feet. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I looked at him, David, and said, why are you writing this, David? And, you know, and David didn't write that so much just because he was a prophet. He wrote that because he was a type of Christ.
Amen.
And Christ was doing something in him, through him, and he was allowing David to be Christ.
Amen.
He allowed it. When David walked up that hill and cried over Jerusalem, God did that for David.
Amen.
So that David could be a type of Christ.
Amen.
So that Christ could come and weep over Jerusalem.
Amen.
David allowed, or God allowed David to do that. And it's not so much that, well, I'm just going to take, God said, I'm just going to take this flesh of body and make him go through the emotions. But he actually allowed David to walk like he was Christ.
Amen.
And to go through things that Christ would go through. And he became a type of Christ. And you think of throughout all the scriptures of all the people that all of a sudden there'd be something in their life that they would end up showing forth the character of God.
Amen.
And the character of God would all of a sudden be revealed in them. And you think, well, how did they do that? You know, because a man has no idea. He just a man cannot do that unless God initiates it. A man can't be born and grow up as a child and, you know, I think I'm going to start acting like God. You'll fail.
Amen.
Unless God comes down. But throughout history, all those men, what happened was Jesus Christ was coming along, resting upon this brother, walking in this brother, walking through this brother. And all of a sudden he starts doing things like Christ would do. And his life became a prophecy.
Amen.
David's life became a prophecy when he walked up that hill and cried over Jerusalem.
Amen.
David's life became a prophecy when he wrote that 22nd Psalm. You know, the 22nd Psalm, it starts off with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you go to the last verse there, and if you look down at how it's interpreted, you could actually reinterpret that, it is finished.
Amen.
That's not how the King James reads, but if you looked at how it is, you could actually retranslate out, it is finished. So it starts off with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it can end with, it is finished.
Amen.
And David writing that, and ended up being typing out Christ.
Amen.
But for all those things, all those people that hated those types, all those people that were angry of those types, God was so veiled.
Amen.
Behind those vessels. That they did not know that there was a God of heaven that had veiled himself. Remember Moses when he met God face to face and he said, oh Lord, I want to see you, and God allowed him to see the back parts of a man, and then when he And he came off the mountain, and his face, he didn't realize his face was shining so brightly. And the children of Israel, they said, "We don't even want to look at you." You know, he put a veil over his face just so he could talk to him. That has happened over and over again throughout history, and people don't even realize it. That God has been veiling himself in people and revealing his character. When God revealed himself in the fullness in Jesus Christ, we saw God's character. That's why Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His character has not changed. How he met the sick when he was there with Jesus, when Jesus Christ was here on earth, that's how he can meet the sick today. How he met blind Bartimaeus back then on that day when he walked into Jericho is the same way he can meet a blind man today. If the same conditions are met. And the same way he forgave sins back then is the same way he can forgive sins now. Amen. Woman, your sins are forgiven you. Who gave this man that authority? But God was veiled and they didn't realize it. We're still living in Bible days. We know this because we're in the end times. We know this because the Bible didn't cease. There isn't a time when they said, you know what? You're just going to have to live a dead church walk from here on out. We see all these things. This is where God gave these things to the church. Where did he ever take them away? And if we're still living in Bible days, there should still be Bible characters on this earth.
Amen.
There should still be Timothys. There should still be Marys and Marthas. There should still be Lazaruses. There should still be blind Bartimaeus. There should still be Zacharias. There should still be Peters and Pauls. You think about, have you ever thought about Stephen? When he was there in the early church, he'd gotten saved and he just believed the gospel so much. And his heart was so thrilled about the gospel. But he was just a deacon. And he didn't get to go into that upper room where the disciples were, and the disciples, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit was poured down upon him, all of a sudden the Old Testament just became a whole new book to them. And they're like, well, I can see Christ over here, and I can see Christ over here. And they're looking at the life of Moses. Well, there's Jesus all over again. And they locked themselves up in that room, and the revelation just kept coming on. And yet Stephen didn't get to go up into that room.
Amen.
And they said unto Stephen, they said, we want you to go and wait the tables so that we can focus here on these revelations that are coming down. And why don't you go oversee this matter of the food and waiting tables and such. And for all of that, Stephen was a Bible character. And Stephen saw Jesus Christ. And Stephen had a witness and a testimony. Even though he didn't get to go into that upper room and catch all those revelations that were coming there in the upper room, he had his own revelation. When the disciples would shut themselves away so they could have their prayer meeting and find yet another type of Christ in the Bible that they could bring out to the people, Stephen didn't get to go in there. He had to go and oversee the tables. But for all of that, he had his own revelation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was so thrilled with the attitude and the atmosphere of Stephen. And that what the attitude and atmosphere that Stephen had in his life,
right,
that he allowed Stephen to be such a witness.
Amen.
When they stoned him, he looked up and all of a sudden he saw the heavens open.
Amen.
And he says, I see this Jesus Christ sit standing on the right hand of the glory of God.
Amen.
One of the simplest men in the church, not thought to be worthy to go in with where all the preachers were. And yet God made him a preacher.
Amen.
And he preached that gospel to those scribes.
Amen.
And he preached that gospel to that Pharisee. He preached the gospel because he had a gospel to preach.
Amen.
He had a testimony that he could give out. He had it because it was given to him. And he had something to share. And so he went out and he just preached and he preached. And he made those Pharisees so angry with this testimony of Jesus Christ until they couldn't take it anymore. And they had to get rid of him. There's still Stephens here on the earth. And God is still veiled behind men such as that. God is so, you know, people, they'll go to church day in, day out, and they don't realize that Jesus Christ is right here.
Amen.
In this little simple room. Brother Branham told us that Jesus keeps all of His appointments.
Amen.
And we have a schedule of church services. We meet here Wednesdays, Sunday mornings, Sunday afternoons. And we have it on a schedule. We've made an appointment to meet God on these times.
Amen.
To come here as a body and meet Christ.
Sure.
Then Jesus Christ meets those appointments.
Amen.
A church service. What could happen at a church service?
Amen.
When the peoples begin believing, my, I wonder what God is going to do for us today.
Amen.
Amen.
And when you come in with the right attitude and the right atmosphere, what could happen? Because we're still living in Bible days. You know, I've read in this Bible some pretty good church services.
Amen.
I've read in the Bible about Cornelius' house, about the church service they had there. I've read about Larry in the time of Samaria. I've read about men and women that are filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God at church services. And we're still living in those days.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is still here. To be at the right time, in the right place, with the right attitude. How many has ever listened to where Brother Branham preached a sermon called Blind Bartimaeus? I just went through recently and I listened to about every single time that he preached that sermon. And if you don't mind, if I could just go through it for just a second here. The drama went like this, that Blind Bartimaeus wasn't always blind. But he grew up as a young child and he had a faithful Jewish mother that would tell him all these Bible stories of all these great things that Jehovah had done in the past for his people Israel. And his mother would tell him, you know, it wasn't that far from here that God parted the Red or the Jordan and our forefathers walked over on dry ground. It's just blind Bartimaeus living in Jericho there. His mother would say, well, it's just right down there at the rivers where it happened. And he's like, wow, you know, and now she would tell him how when Joshua crossed that river and he was getting ready to slay the enemy and he saw a man standing out there and he said, who are you? Are you for us or are you for our enemies? And the man said, nay, but I am the captain of the hosts of the Lord.
Amen.
And Joshua took off his shoes and bowed down and realized that he was in the presence. He was in Bible days. Because those kinds of things happen in Bible days.
Amen.
And so blind Bartimaeus heard that story. He's like, wow, that's so neat, you know. And then he'd hear about how Elijah and Elisha were walking arm in arm down that same cobblestone path that led past Jericho. And it's just that cobblestone road. It's just right here, little blind Bartimaeus. He wasn't blind back then. His mom would tell him about how they went down there to the river and Elijah smote the water and the rivers parted and crossed over. He went up in a chariot and Elisha came back and said, where is the God of Elijah? And the river parted all over again. And little blind Bartimaeus heard all these stories growing up with that faithful Jewish mother teaching her child all these stories of the things that God, that Jehovah had done for his people. But now, alas, blind Bartimaeus is blind.
Right.
And he's growing old, and his mom has passed away, and he doesn't have anybody to tell him those stories anymore. And he thinks about it, and he sits there along the road begging for alms, and he thinks, boy, you know, if I had been here when Joshua saw that captain of the Lord's hosts, I'll bet that captain could have given me back my sight. And I would have walked up to that captain and said, oh, please, sir, that you would give me back my sight.
Amen.
But alas, those days are past, so the priest says. And he would say, you know, if I was sitting here on this cobblestone path where Elijah and Elisha used to walk down this way, heading down to the Jordan, to part the Jordan, and I would have ran out right in front of him and said, oh, Elijah, great prophets of God, I would that you would give me my sight back. Because he had heard that they had done miracles like that. But alas, he hadn't seen miracles like that for a while. It had been hundreds and hundreds of years, and what have we seen? And so he went on, he started thinking, boy, I wish there's just some way I could have my sight. And he just crying, you know, it just seems like Jehovah, that great Jehovah, has just left his people without a hope. Has left his people without any idea. Has left his people to where those things just don't happen anymore. Amen. And Brother Bram always put it like this, and he said, and little did blind Bartimaeus know that same captain of the Lord's hosts was a little more than 100 yards from him as he thought that.
Amen.
That same captain was a little more than 100 yards.
Amen.
And sometimes I think about it, I'm like, Lord, I listen to those sermons of Brother Branham's, and I hear that great discernment go out, and I hear him say, you there in that, sitting there back there in the little red dress, and I see you're praying for your mother and you're desiring for her to be saved, and she also has a hurt leg. As you believe, so will it be. Go in the name of the Lord. And you look over on the other side and you say, your name is Harriet, and you're desiring the salvation of your husband. And if you go back, you'll find that he is not a drunkard anymore, but he's been delivered in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you believe, so shall it be.
Amen.
And I think about that and I think, Lord, I don't have that discernment. And I thought about that. I'm like, Lord, you didn't leave me without something, did you? And you told me to preach this gospel.
Amen.
And commissioned me. And sent me out to preach this gospel. And yet I don't have that same discernment that Brother Branham had.
Amen.
Does that mean that I can't see the same things? And I would cry out to God, and I'm like, Lord, does that mean that healings like that can't take place? Does that mean that people can't come to the house of God with a hope that God would still discern their hearts? That God would still meet them where they're at? That God would still go out and find out what they're praying for. And if they're praying for a lost loved one somewhere, that God would send His righteous servant out there and deliver that man.
Amen.
Or are those days past? But if we are still truly living in Bible days, then there's still got to be Bible characters. And God may not have given me all the gifts that He gave Brother Branham. And Lord knows I wouldn't have wanted them, because I wouldn't want to do anything to upstage God's prophet. Or to try to have a ministry better than God's prophet.
Amen. Amen.
Because why should I want to detract? I'd fear lest I would detract from that. But for all that, the ministry of Jesus Christ is still here.
Amen.
And nothing can detract from the ministry of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when you're preaching the gospel, the sword of the Spirit can still go out and discern and prick the hearts. And it's still, and as the angel told Brother Branham, if you can get the people to believe, nothing will stand in your way of your prayer. And the same thing can happen today. If you can get yourself to believe that the same Jesus Christ is still here, He has not changed. His attitude towards the sick, towards the lost, towards the downtrodden, all those were attitudes and characteristics of God Almighty.
Amen.
And God poured those attitudes and characteristics into Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is still here, week in, week out, attending church with you.
Yes.
Still here, still the same God.
Amen.
And what expectation ought we to be?
Amen.
With that same God still attending our church services, right here
Amen.
With us. And we think, oh, we don't have Brother Branham to stand behind the pulpit and give out those great discernments and tell people they're healed. Brother Branham says, I didn't heal them, their faith did.
Amen.
And that his discernment was to lift up their faith to the point that they could actually believe.
Amen.
Well, then if a people can believe the same way still, then they can still receive the same experience of healing. Of deliverance, of this, of that. It's still possible.
Amen.
Because God has not changed.
Amen.
And not, if God has not changed, then neither has His people changed.
Amen.
And if Paul could preach a sermon and have a man fall out of the window, Eutychus, and fall down dead, and he could run down there and raise him back up to life and then come back and preach some more. Then what power did he do that in? Because he was anointed to do that. And we are anointed to go to church. We're anointed to be the bride of Jesus Christ. We're anointed to be prepared for when Jesus Christ comes. We've been given all that we have need of on this life's journey to get to the rapture. We've been given all these things, and so why should our faith be lacking when He is still the same? You're looking for your Messiah to come and take you away, and He's standing right next to you. When you go home tomorrow, and when you get up in the morning tomorrow, and you go to kneel at your couch and pray, and He's listening to your prayers.
Amen.
And you can take a promise of God and say, Lord, you know, You said I could approach You this way.
Amen.
On my knees in prayer.
Right.
You told me I could do this.
Amen.
Lord, You gave me permission to pray to You and to ask for these deliverances.
Amen.
And to ask for the salvation. To ask for the Holy Ghost. To ask for healing. You gave me permission to ask for all these things. Then, Lord, I'm sitting here. I'm fulfilling my part. Lord, I want to see Your part fulfilled in my life. Because we're still living in Bible days. And as Bible characters, we should still have the same experiences. You say, oh, I don't know if we're actually Bible characters. Does that really mean we're the bride of Jesus Christ and she's in the Bible?
Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says that she'll overcome by the word, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of her testimony.
Amen.
Then she knows how to live in Bible days. Then she knows how to overcome things. She knows how to go before God in prayer and cry out until she gets an answer.
Amen.
That's what the bride is to do. If I could find a scripture here real quick. Let's see, I believe it's in John. Yeah, let me read three verses out of John here. It's John 14:13 is the first one. Then we'll read 15:7, and then 16:23 and 24. John 14:13 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Then you go over to chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You go to chapter 16, verse 23. And it says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you.
Amen.
Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full.
Amen.
Let's turn over to the book of Esther, chapter 5. Esther chapter 5, verse 3. Remember, this is when Esther invited the king and the devil to the banquet. The king and Haman. And it says, then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. Let's go down to verse 6. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom shall it be performed. Let's go over to Esther chapter 7, verse 2. start at verse 1. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther, the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? It shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. If you remember the story of Esther, she was just a humble peasant woman, a refugee, away from her homeland. Didn't necessarily know who she was or where she was going or what her future was going to be, living in a strange land amongst strange gods. But for all of that, and then she saw this queen by the name of Vashti, high and lifted up, decked out in gold and all the fine apparel and everything. And one day, King Ahasuerus wanted to prepare a banquet for all of his lords. And he prepared this banquet for, I believe it was like a 170-day feast or something like that. So you have months and months and months of describing his glory to the people, King Ahasuerus' glory. And he brought all the lords from all the land, and he put on this great feast that he might show all the lords of the land how great he was and all that he did. And then at the last 7 days of the feast, he wanted to bring out Vashti, the queen, to show all of his lords how beautiful his queen was. And Queen Vashti, those last several days of the feast, she went and she had her own feast for all the maidens. So there's two feasts going on here. There's a feast of the king, and there's a feast of Vashti. And Vashti, Queen Vashti, was so caught up in her own feast that she began to think that she didn't have to answer the king's call anymore. The king was interrupting her feast. She was having this feast with all of her lady friends, all the maidens and everything, and they're having a good time up there, and all of a sudden the messenger comes, the king wants to meet you, wants you to come out so that all may see your glory. And she says, I will not come. Because she was esteeming her feast greater than the king Ahasuerus' feast. And so she was taken and she was deposed as queen. And she was taken out of the way and placed off over into a side, never to see the king again. And Queen Esther comes up. And Queen Esther throws a feast. Only this feast, she doesn't throw it with others around her. She goes and she wants to commune with the king. And she communes with the king so much until he can't take it anymore. And he says, what do you want? It'll be performed to you to the half of the kingdom. And after a couple days, he kept asking her over and over again, what do you want? What do you want? But she just kept pouring on the feast. And when a Christian is getting in the habit of worshiping God and telling God how great He is and worshiping the things that He has done. And the things that God has done are actually so beautiful to you. Have you ever seen God deliver someone from something? It's the most beautiful thing you'll ever see. And you'll just sit back and you'll just be weeping. You watch and you see, oh, that person that was bound for so long by such and such, and all of a sudden God came down and set them free. Well, that's beautiful. And I worship my God for those things. And I give Him praise and glory and honor. And I bring those testimonies to my workplace and over here to Christians at all. Any denomination, just let them come around me. I tell them about the things I've seen God do because I worship my God that way.
Amen.
And when you worship God and keep bringing the feast to Him, bringing the feast to Him, bringing the feast to Him, what do you want? It should be performed to you to the half of the kingdom. And you think of what would the wise virgin ask for? She has one desire. She wants to be ready when He comes. She wants to be that bride that He always wanted. She wants to be that Proverbs 31 bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's possible. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, it's possible to get there.
Amen.
And it's possible for a Christian to not live a lukewarm Christian life.
Amen.
it's possible for Christians to shake off this Laodicean age. Well, if all these things are possible, then let's walk in them. Oh, we could give all this great advice to the children of Israel and say, oh, you should have kicked the enemy off your land, and oh, you should have done this, and you should have done that. But if we could ever just take our own advice sometimes.
There you go.
Amen. And look at how we would counsel those Bible characters and tell them how they should have ruled their lives. And tell them how, oh, you should have believed God more, or you should have trusted God more, or you should have prayed more, or you should have done this. And take some of that advice that we could give to them and actually give it to ourselves. And believe that if God has chosen us, then He is actually able to bring us to be not just some lukewarm church member. But the same God that called us is able and has provided a way that we could actually be the revelation of Jesus Christ on this earth.
Amen.
God veiled before the people. Amen. Brother Branham said that all those Hebrews in the sign of the United time, he was talking about Hebrews chapter 11, and he started talking about those Hebrew chapter 11 saints. And he says, governments will be uniting, corporations will be uniting, religion will be uniting, but the bride of Christ should be uniting with the Word of God.
Amen.
And she'll begin uniting with those saints in Hebrews chapter 11 who were not made perfect without us. And those men were subject to like passions as they were. But if you've been called and chosen of God, from the least saint to the greatest saint, then God has an interest in every member of His bride.
Amen.
And His bride will be an overcomer. It's just going to be that way. He's already spoken it.
Amen.
It's got to come to pass. Let me give you a prophecy. The bride of Christ will be without spot or wrinkle.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, are you the bride of Christ?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then that gives you a certain position standing before God that you may not realize that you have.
Amen.
Because the prophecy's already gone out. It can't fail. It is what it is. We may not know why we're blessed to be the position we are. We may not know why God has called us to be in this great position, the bride of Jesus Christ. Many men throughout the Bible have been called to be prophets and priests and great holy men and righteous men, disciples, and they've called the sun to stand still and all those things. Our calling is to be the bride of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When God poured out all of Himself into that body, Jesus Christ, and says, this is who I am. If you ever wanted to know who I am, this is it. And then He looks at you and He says, and I want you to be married to that. Then that gives you a position that is right up there with the prophets, the priests, the kings, all the Bible characters throughout all history. It's given you a position that should not be taken lightly. As you walk forth through this life and you see things that should not be this way or that way, just like Queen Esther, she looked there and she realized that all of her countrymen and women were getting ready to be killed. And she said, it shouldn't be that way. And so she cried out to the king and it changed things. And her people were delivered. When the king said, what do you want? Oh, ask what you want to the half of the kingdom. Well, if the bride of Christ could start setting up feasts to meet the king. I'm just talking about day in, day out. If Daniel had to pray three times a day in Babylon, then we need to get praying in Babylon also.
Amen.
And have this, get this word to actually work for us. You know, not long ago, I was about 3 years ago, I was suffering because I was working a job that was just, you know, we were poor. And I didn't want to get on the government assistance, you know, and I just was like, Lord, you said I have never seen my righteous forsaken or my seed begging for bread. And I held that promise before God. I said, Lord, this is what your word said. And I looked at my life. I'm like, Lord, there's something in my life that is contrary to what your word said. And I didn't like that. And so one day I just felt like a release to go get on government assistance. And so my wife and I, we went and we signed up for the government food program there. And I said, Lord, I feel like I'm begging for my bread now. And your scripture said this would not happen. And I said, Lord, I need you to fulfill your scriptures. And within a couple weeks, I had a new job. It more than doubled my income. And God took a man that didn't even go to middle school. I didn't go to high school. I didn't go to middle school. And God took a man and gave him a position that I don't deserve and don't have the education for. And I just want you, if you can imagine what God can do for His people. When His people, they see things that they don't like. Well, why don't we like them? Because we have seen something so perfect. And we've seen things so, this word is so beautiful. And then we look at our lives and we're like, oh Lord, that's not like your word.
Amen.
Well, that's why you don't like it. Because the word has been written upon your heart. And if the word has been written upon your heart and you see something in your life that's contrary to what the word says, it makes you unhappy.
Amen.
And you don't like it.
Amen.
And it makes you nervous and upset. But Jesus came and He said, fear not.
Amen.
Then He's still here and He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can still come and fear not.
Amen.
And say, Lord, but your word said so. 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 And I could go on for an hour just repeating that. But your word said so. Because that's what I do in my prayer time. Because I have things that I have need of. And I have a need to be a proper bride. I look there and I read how that Proverbs 31 bride, what manner of bride she was, that wise bride there in Proverbs. I'm like, Lord, I need to be that to you. And I need to be just exactly what He thought. When He died on Calvary, the type of bride that He was looking for when He died on Calvary, that's what I want. Whatever He had in mind when He died on that cross, that's what I want to be. Because He died on that cross so I could be that, then it's possible. And all things are possible to Him that believes. The body of Christ. We are His body, His temple, His tabernacle. You know, back when I was in Sunday school, as a little child, they would tell me, you know, Jesus Christ is in your heart. And oh, that thing was such a simple thing, but I never really believed it growing up. You know, I just couldn't bring myself to believe that. But when God gave me this message, I went through all the deep things of this message and I came right back around to that simple revelation again. Jesus Christ is in my heart. And it has not changed. I just want to tell you, saints, be confident that just as much, and you look at how much care that God took for His Bible characters and how much He loved them and cared for them. And when they were put to the test, that He showed up on the scene.
Right.
And realizing that's a Bible character.
Amen.
Then if He'd do that for one Bible character, then He'll do it for me. Because His attitude towards His called, His elect, His chosen has not changed.
Amen.
Before Adam and Eve left that garden, He says, I have to make sure that you're clothed first. Because I don't want there to be one speck of time that you're out from underneath the covering. Because even though you've stumbled into sin, even though you've fallen into disgrace, you're still mine, you're still chosen. And so He clothed them and sent them out so that they could know that there will be a way back someday.
Amen.
Amen. And everything that Brother Branham looked for, I believe will come to pass in my generation.
Amen.
As the brother said, I don't know if we'll make it at the end of the year. And I just... I look at all those things, and well, then I know who I am. I'm the one He's coming for. All these events are coming to pass so that it might make a place for me that I say, Lord, I'm not of whom the world is not worthy. I shouldn't be on this earth anymore.
Amen.
This earth is just too wicked for me. You called me to be righteous and holy, God. You called me to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You called me to go up in a rapture. You sent a prophet to tell me to expect that. And if everybody that ever received a prophet through the Bible was able to look at what that prophet prophesied and expect that what he said would come to pass, then I find myself in the same line, in the same character. And though we might seem like it's just the dull day-to-day life, drudgery going on, but yet for all that, I find myself in a strange set of shoes, because I'm in the same set of shoes that those that heard John the Baptist's message.
Amen.
And they heard what Anna said. They heard the testimony of Simeon and the testimony of Mary and Joseph. And they heard all those testimonies, and they knew what the prophet said. And they looked at it and they saw this man by the name of Jesus Christ. And they're like, you know, there's something to that.
Amen.
And the veil, when their heart was turned to the Lord, the veil began to take it away. And a lot of the drudgery that we go through day by day by day is just for the only purpose, the only reason of it is because there's a veil over your eyes.
Amen.
And if you could ever get down on your knees and have God anoint you to see things that are coming to pass, all of a sudden, you'd be just like that Gehazi when all of a sudden he saw that every tree, there were chariots of fire and angels all surrounding him, and realized that all of heaven and earth is watching and waiting for this day when the bride of Christ, without spot or without wrinkle, is standing there waiting for her husband to come get her.
Amen.
And then begin to realize and catch the revelation that that's us. And that's exactly where we're standing. And it was prophesied by a great prophet coming with signs and wonders by the name of William Branham. Then we're here, saints.
Amen.
And we're standing right in the middle of that prophecy coming to pass. And yet for all of that, we look at it like, oh, just a day-by-day life. But yet now we look at it and, you know, Israel became a nation how long ago? And God has been working with the Jews since World War I. And we're getting ready to celebrate 100 years of World War I. And God has been setting everything in order and placing things. And it's a sign of the uniting time. Everything is uniting. And even the Jews are uniting over there, getting ready to receive their Messiah. And we know that before they receive their Messiah, we're going up in a rapture.
Amen.
And yet there are people that are getting preparing to annihilate Israel with nuclear weapons. And they're getting ready to surround Jerusalem with their armies, as prophesied in the Bible. And these are the days that these things can start coming to pass. We're here.
Amen.
We've arrived.
Amen.
We're standing in Bible days. Right there in the middle of the Bible. We're right there.
Amen.
Then what manner of people ought we to be? We're the bride of Christ, standing spotless, without spot, without wrinkle. We're called to do the laundry, saints. A proper bride, she does that. She does the laundry. She knows what it takes to get the stains out. She knows how to use the detergent. If there's any spot, she knows how to use the detergent to get it out. And if something is wrinkled, then she brings the fire to it, and she can get that wrinkle out. And by the blood and by the fire, she knows how to make that thing without spot and without wrinkle. And so the bride of Christ standing there by the blood and by the fire has been made without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And that's what we're standing. We're standing right in the middle of that prophecy, and yet we stand there and we go to these church services and we think, well, another church service. God's dealing with the Jews over there in Jerusalem, and it's been almost 70 years now, and what's going on, and for all that, we don't even know where we're standing. And we're ready for a rapture to take place. The culmination. They that without us, in Hebrews 11, could not be made perfect without this moment. And we stand here sometimes with stony hearts, not expecting that this thing is coming to pass. But for all that, the prophecy cannot be stopped. The bride will stand. She will be without spot. She will be without wrinkle. And we've been called to be the bride because we've received the message of the chamberlain, of Brother Branham. And so that puts us in a position. You know, Brother Branham said the blind Bartimaeus did something greater than what Joshua did. He said Joshua stopped the S-U-N. He says blind Bartimaeus that day when he cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David." He says blind Bartimaeus stopped the S-O-N and stopped the Son of God right in his tracks. And the bride of Jesus Christ, and we think, oh, all these great signs, these great miracles, we're going to get Jesus Christ to marry us. And you think, oh, what a miracle. We're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen soon, saints. Amen. I'm expecting it, are you?
Yes.
Amen. I just, these things are so real to me, but the reason we don't see them is because we allow a veil to come over our eyes. And the only way you can get that veil off your eyes is for you to turn and face towards Calvary. Turn and face towards Jesus Christ and actually have Him lift up your eyes and see where you're standing. Amen. I know it's just a simple message, but let's just stand. I know it's hot and we're tired, but I just know who we are. God did not send Brother Brandon for no reason at all.
Hallelujah.
He sent it for the purpose that we might be ready when Christ came.
Right.
And I just, it works. The message works. All that Brother Branham said that message would do, it's going to do it.
Amen.
It is doing it. It has done it. It's going to happen. It is happening and it will happen.
Right.
And it's just, it works. You listen to those messages, all of a sudden you start being changed from glory to glory. You're being changed into the image of a bride. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I know it might be a little bit of a chopped up message, but Lord, my desire, Father, Lord, for my life and for the life of these people, Lord, is that somehow our eyes would be opened, that we could see the day that we're standing in. Lord, You let Daniel see the day that he was standing in, Father. When he went back to a prophet that had been there before him, and he looked at through the prophecy, he began to realize, oh my, this is the time, this is the hour. Lord, and if You would do that for Daniel, then Lord, I pray, Lord, that somehow You would do it for us. For Your bride, Lord, we're here in this, amongst all this Babylonian garments and Babylonian wedges of gold and all these trappings of Laodicea and all these things, the cage of every unclean and hateful bird speaking against us. But oh God, for all the prophecies that have gone past, Lord, sometimes maybe our eyes don't see like they ought to, but Lord, I'm asking You, Father.
Yes.
You said there be eye salve available in this day. Then Lord, I believe that all those things that were given, offered to the Laodicean church, that Your bride has them, knows how to use them, and already has used them. Lord, then let us leave this Laodicean idea behind, Lord, and enter into exactly where You want us to stand. Father, a bride without spot, without wrinkle, saying, but You said so. But You said so. You said You would marry me, Lord. You said You would call me up higher. You said You would give me an Enoch walk. You said all these things. You told me to expect for a rapture. You told me to expect for these things. You said, Lord, that I'd be without spot, that I'd be without wrinkle. You said I'd be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And Lord, I'm expecting all those promises to come to pass. And I'm going to keep holding them up in prayer, Lord, until I see them. One of these days, I'll see my loved ones appear before me. Because You promised me, Lord. And I'm looking for it, Father. Then Lord, I pray that while You tarry, Father, that I would send many more loved ones up there, Father, that I might meet them, Lord. That many more would have that testimony that they've been saved, sealed, baptized by the Holy Ghost, Father. Let it be done, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray for these people, Father, though if they be weary, Lord, that You'd give them strength, Father. For every wholeness represented here under the sound of My voice, Father, that You would meet them in the mornings and in the evenings as they pray. Father, that they would have homes of houses of prayer, Lord. That they would be a praying people, Father, and a blessing to their pastor. Let it be done in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Cam, if you would come. Just keep believing, saints. He never asked if we felt it. He said, did you believe it? Amen. And I have believed. God bless you.
Amen. Let's give a little round of applause. Amen.
Amen.
Pray you've been touched by the Word of God today. Amen.
Amen.
A lot of nuggets all day long, so we certainly appreciate the Lord for that. I almost feel like, by the grace of God, you know, Brother Branham said you got to read between the lines.
Amen.
We were getting a lot of between the lines today, so by the grace of God, we thank the Lord for that. And you know, one thing, and I know it's your desire, mine too, but God, let me be a type of You. You know, a lot of times when you ask for that thing, we expect just the high times. But when you ask for that, you're going to receive what Jesus Christ is. Amen. And that's why it says, take up your cross.
Yes.
Follow Him.
Amen.
Because in following Christ, you will have to walk the walk of Christ.
Amen.
And by the grace of God, I certainly love it when a preacher can come in and I believe exactly what they believe. Amen. And I sit right there and I say, praise the Lord. Amen. Because I believe that's what we're holding on for. Amen.
Amen.
We have a move that we're waiting on. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And we know the obstacle before us. The obstacle before us is not the World Council of Churches, but the obstacle that we stand at today and look at and we say, oh, I've got to overcome it, is right here.
Amen. Amen. That's the truth.
Amen. Because all that Laodicea is fighting this flesh from becoming the image of Christ. Amen. But we were called to be the image, amen. We were called to fulfill the third full ministry, amen. That is your ministry. That is what you were called to do. The Word is meant to open to you to make you become the Word, amen. As the brother was preaching there, I just sat there and I sat there and I thought. I said, Lord, look at what You revealed through this prophet. Look at what He told us. All the powerful things He was trying to establish that we would reveal to this earth. What a promise. You know, that's the thing. When this third pole really hits out, you don't realize how great you're going to look. And like I said, let me say this right. Because it's not that... It's not. I'm talking about not how great you look, but you will look as the image of Christ. Amen. You'll do the things that are thought impossible.
Amen.
And you'll have to believe it. You'll have to become it. It is what you are. The revelation of who you are today is not what we've accepted. The revelation of who we are today is what the Word says we are today. And that was revealed through that prophet.
Amen.
And then we go into communion. What is the revelation of who we are? Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We are the Word made flesh today.
Amen.
Not the head, but we are the body. And the head sits on the body. Amen. Perfectly cemented and welded together by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I don't want to preach. Well, maybe. But I thank God for what God has shown us today. Amen. And like I said, I just love the Word of God. Amen. Maybe if we could, let's jump into communion now. If we go to 1 Corinthians 11. Was there anyone that needed prayer today before we move on? I believe we prayed. And I just pray that the Lord will give us more desire to enter into His will.
Amen.
Reveal Yourself to us, Lord. Certainly looking forward to this evening. feel like it's been a long time, and I don't like to have that feeling. So by the grace of God, it's good to be communing one with another this evening. If we'd turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11, we'll go to the... Let's just go to, if we can, to the 17th verse. Do a little reading here. And entering in, it says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse." Now remember, he's talking about, he's moving into communion here. "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Then it jumps into this thought. "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves," I believe that's what the Word has done to us today, "we have judged ourselves." Amen. Some of us have judged ourselves saying, "God, I need more." Amen.
Amen.
We should not be judged. Amen. "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Thank you, Lord. "Wherefore, my brethren, when you come to eat together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Amen. So we have a little group this evening. We're going to ask that we would do as we usually do. We're going to ask those that are partaking in communion, if you come up, may perhaps make a little circle up here. And let's sing that song as we come forward. "I need thee, Lord. I need thee every hour. I need thee. And I need thee, Lord.
Lord.